Okay. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. Hope you're doing well. Welcome to the Host Unknown podcast. I'm Javad Malik, and alongside me is Andy Agnes. How you doing, mate?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, very good.
I feel like we're a bit light today. I'm feeling... I don't know whether we've been working out, we dropped some fat. What is it? It's like a collective feeling.
It's definitely a lot of fat we dropped. We definitely dropped a lot of fat.
Now, the real question is, do you know how to play the intro jingle?
Yes. Hold on a second. Check this out. Check this out.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. That's what he usually says, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Oh, God knows, that was a tough job to replace.
I see you still have your phone on, regardless of... It's not.
It's Tom's iPad, which plays the jingles that he has neglected to mute. So his son's sending him text messages or something.
Right, Dad, come and get me. Dad, where are you?
Hold on, I can have some fun with it. I'm not your real dad.
Oh dear, he's old enough now to know anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
He shouldn't do it by text message, that's the only thing.
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit harsh, but...
So, should we explain, where are you today, Jeff?
I am in Tom's flat. I drove all the way up to Chippenham in the rain. And yes, it's... oh my God, he's getting news updates on it. How do I turn... I don't want to turn the volume down because I might screw up the soundboard.
So he's going to have like a little switch on the top. Well, actually, knowing Tom, it's the new Pro, isn't it? So it'll be on...
Yeah,
the,
it is.
It'll be a hard switch.
So anyway, I drove up to see Tom today and I'm in his place and we all got set up and he went off to get a cup of tea and he's been gone for like... We waited all of 30 seconds for him before we hit record.
It was tough. So, Tom's flat, tell us about it. It's obviously, I couldn't make it. We're doing this off-site disaster recovery thing, so all three of us can't be in the same location. There's a storm coming, and should the worst happen, we can't afford for all three of us to go down.
That's right. So, imagine a man pad, but when you're young and you have your own bedroom, you don't have money. But imagine if you're like old and you've got money and you have your own man pad and you have access to Amazon and IKEA. This is like a Tony Stark wet dream that he's living in.
Just not as fluid, right? It's going to be
not as fluid. Yeah, everything's like cobbled together and connected. So everything's wireless. There's no manual switches or anything anywhere. Everything's either voice activated or gestures or something like that. And he was showing me earlier and he was like, oh, you know how I close the blinds? And he yelled out, Siri, close the bedroom blinds. And at first it didn't recognize him. Then he had to say it again, nearer to the speaker.
And you have to get out of bed, stand next to the blinds and shout it.
Honestly, it was hilarious. But it's like one of those Rube Goldberg machines where you know, you set off a marble in motion and it clicks around and it sets fire to something and cracks an egg. And in the end, it just turns the page on your book.
Oh, but he does have fun doing it, doesn't he? I know. I've been fascinated by this mirror that he's been working on, this magic mirror that he gives us an update. And it turns out it's not even in that house. It's in his other house.
Yeah. I know.
Do you want lunch, Jeff? Because the way you're going, you're going to be wearing it. I don't know. God. You started without me as
no,
well.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why Tom is single.
Do you hear the aggression in that voice there? Yeah. So controlling. So controlling. Damn. Gaslighting Jav.
Gaslighting Jav.
You know what, Tom? A mate of mine, he's set up a dating site, and maybe you should look at it. I can get you an introductory to it. He set it up in Prague, but it's online and it's called Checkmate.
Sorry, I think what you mean is... Dear me.
I thought being in person next to you, you'd actually laugh at it, but you're even...
What, after all the stuff I've just heard from the kitchen while I'm making you a lovely chai tea latte?
Thank you. This is my third of the day so far, where it's only like 11 in the morning, so I'll be bouncing off the wall soon.
Please tell me you did the intro music.
We did.
So it's all proper. We're all started, are we?
No, yes. It's not amateur hour down here, Tom. Don't worry about that.
Are you sure about that? You sure about that? Anyway, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from wherever you are.
We've done that already.
Oh, for goodness sake. All you've done is say that and then rip on my beautiful apartment.
Pretty much,
I said it's like Tony Stark's wet dream come true.
No, you didn't. You said it's like a teenager's bedroom, but someone who has money and access to IKEA and Amazon. I heard you. Oh, dear. I don't know. I feel attacked. And
by the way, your son was texting. He said, say hi to Jab for me. And I replied saying, I'm not your real dad.
What?
I saw it come through on it.
No, that's someone else. Was it?
Isn't that your son?
Oh, okay.
Son number two. Crikey.
What have you said? Oh, nothing.
Son number two from wife number three. So...
What? You could be the future ex, Mrs. Langford. Ah, dear. Well, I actually, since I have no idea where we are in the running order or anything, since...
We're just saying hello, that's all. It's nothing...
You callously started while I was making... libations for us both. At this and money, it should have been for both of you, but Andy, you failed to attend.
I did. We've already been through this. Is deliberate off-site strategy. Plus, I feel like I've got the Rona, so I didn't want to spread it to you guys.
Oh, that's fair.
Good.
That's fair.
Thank you.
Yeah, very, very kind of you.
I'll
very
be using that for the next couple of months when I want to get out of something.
So shall we move on to the first section,
sure, which, thing.
Yeah, and actually we did ask the audience to come in with some jingles for us, and we got one
this week in InfoSec.
I think we maybe forgot to pay the last 50 pence because it kind of ran out at the end, but I like that.
I like that. It's got it's just
really catchy music.
Yeah. It's like I recognize it. Like, you know, it's one of those memories that you just have that it's as if it's always in your head.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it like, you know, when you go to an InfoSec conference and you see an old, bald, white man and you think, he looks familiar.
Yes.
And you can't quite put your finger on it. It's like that.
Well, this isn't going according to the script, but...
Wait, share your screen with me. I can't see the script.
I thought we were supposed to say something about vinyl as well, but, you know, it's old school, like vinyl, almost like a vinyl memory, right? Andy, go on. Let's hear your Today in InfoSec. Let's hear this one again. You can go straight after the jingle. How's that?
Okay.
This week in InfoSec...
So we have from 25th of September 2003, so 17 years ago, a report critical of Microsoft. The report was called Cyber Insecurity, The Cost of Monopoly, was published. And as a result, Dan Gere, one of seven co-authors of the report, was fired by At Stake. Was the ex-CTO for At Stake. And he said he was forced out after co-authoring a critical report about Microsoft, who was an At Stake client at the time. And this whole report was about, you know, the monopoly and how, you know, so many governments use them. It was just a bad thing to do, you know, looking at the arguing that, you know, the complexity and dominance of Microsoft OS made the government prone to cyber attack, which should have been considered a national security threat. So I guess these days we look at that and think, well, you know, you've got to be critical of things. But back then it wasn't the dumb thing. And obviously a respected security company like At Stake, you know, to axe one of their own.
Well, maybe also they weren't aware that he was writing this. But, I mean, certainly even by Microsoft's own admission, that the security was not top of the agenda at that point, was it?
No.
And in fairness to them, they did a complete 180 on it and made it a priority.
Yeah, but it's funny to see how things used to be, you know, some of the kids today, 17 years old, probably don't even remember, you know, these good old days of At Stake, Loft Heavy Industries and the like. But always good to take a trip down memory lane.
Yeah. It is, indeed. Yeah.
You got another one for us?
We do. So this is a much shorter one, so we'll just whiz through this one. 30th of September 2009. So mere 11 years ago, this was. A book called Schneier on Security was published.
And it was security.
Yeah. It was literally just a compilation of articles which Bruce Schneier wrote between 2002 and 2008. And the funny thing on the front cover of this book, it had a quote saying, "The closest thing security has to a rock star."
Oh, please.
Yeah. So this has given me a great idea.
You're just going to, like, publish all your old blog posts, right?
And this is from El Reg as well.
It was.
Well, El Reg was not the beast back then. Here's a great idea for us. We get find someone on Fiverr. Andy knows loads of people on there. we say, here are all of our podcasts. Transcribe them. Put them into a book. Hosts Unknown on Security.
Yeah, that's right. It could be quite a dull book, I think.
Who cares?
Well, we will be published.
Well, we will be the second closest thing to security rock stars then, according to El Reg.
We'll be the new boy band rock stars. Oh, dear. Yeah, I must admit, I know Schneier was talked about as a rock star a number of times, but it's never something that I've really seen before or I've felt was true, because I just think, if you've ever seen him talk and if you've ever met him, he's the furthest thing from a rock star apart from his haircut.
He's a miserable old git.
But he never used to be. So I actually met him in a long time ago at DEF CON in like 2000. It was 2000 or 2001, one of those two, but he was signing copies of his Secrets and Lies book. Which, you know, he was like quite down to earth. He seemed really amiable and, you know, good laugh. But over the years, he kind of started to get a bit grumpier. And then, there's some articles I've seen where I just think, man, you know, the man's lost the plot. But, yeah. can't take away, what he has contributed to the industry.
No, certainly not. But Bruce, if you are listening, we know you're a friend of the show, but please come on and prove us wrong. Or come on and be a big, massive curmudgeon and prove us right. One or the other. Don't mind. Come and tell us a few gags, or come and tell us that we're incompetent because we keep on bashing the microphone and tapping the table and starting the podcast without muting the iPad, which controls the sounds. In case you just heard that.
JFC. So, no, I didn't know. I asked Andy.
No,
and
of course
he was
you
like,
didn't know, because you didn't. You're not supposed to do this. There's one of us is in charge here. This has almost turned into a rant of the week. But come on and show us to be, or show two of us to be the frauds that they are, that think they know how to run a podcast after watching somebody struggle for 25 episodes. But there you go. That was
this week. In InfoCert.
You know, I really like those jingles so much. I think we should get all of our jingles recommissioned by this same contributor.
Yeah, I don't know. So not a bad idea. We could actually pay them proper money as well.
Let's not get silly about it.
Oh, dear. Well, you know who you are, Mr. Fan of the show, who I absolutely didn't pay to get these done. I do like those new jingles. I think we could do more of those, don't you? Yes, Tom. Good. Glad to hear it. So, right, let's move on to the next section. Well, in fact, let's talk about what we've got coming up after our InfoSec of the week.
Shouldn't you have done that in the beginning?
I thought you'd done it. You said you'd done it all. But anyway, we've got the tweet of the week, Billy Big Balls, rant of the week. And will we have a little people today? I think not.
You know, I've got a couple of people, but one particular group, I was like, please, can you do little people? And they said, They're working on it and they haven't got it. But Security Queens, please get us your little people. I'm talking to you, Morgan and Sophia and
the other one.
The Andy of the group.
Matt, Luke and Ken.
Yeah. Craig. Right,
but Ken.
Well, I thought it'd be really good because I said to him, you're like the younger female version of Host Unknown.
Oh, Christ, poor them.
Yeah, I know. And what? I think that they never answered me after that.
They're younger than us and already washed up.
Yeah. I've offended them bitterly.
All right, let's go off topic here. Let's do Billy, not off topic, off the running order. Let's go and start with this week's
Billy Big Balls of the Week.
And that's over to me. So, the world's richest man?
I think so. Not far off.
No. Tom would be if he stopped buying stuff for his apartment, but...
You can't stop buying stuff. Andy's got like 40 Amazon boxes in his hallway. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Andy, why do you have 40 Amazon boxes in your hallway?
I just haven't got around to opening them, that's all.
Then why did you order it?
Because I need them.
But obviously not, because you haven't opened them. I mean, last week you said you had 40 boxes. I think the week before you said you had 40 boxes.
Well, I didn't say I needed them now. I just said I needed them.
But then it's Amazon. You get it next day. Why not order it when you actually need it?
So I've got things like light bulbs. So, you know, last time I changed a light bulb at the weekend, I checked, oh, I'm down to the last one. I better order, you know, another 24.
Okay. So have you got 39 them. Boxes of Amazon stuff need right now?
Search my orders.
Yeah, can't tell us what's in there. Sorry, we're off topic, but
I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a flat pack coffin in there somewhere. Why? I need one, just not right now.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
actually, this is relevant to Jeff Bezos, in fairness.
It is, yeah.
Light bulbs. Obviously, these ones are golf ball 42 watts. That'll be for the living room.
They're light bulbs. We're not interested in the specifics.
No, I'm just looking at the other one. What this is, I can't tell what it is from the picture. So home, refrigerator, fridge, freezer, door lock, latch, catch, toddler, kids, child, cabinet locks.
Well, you obviously don't need that because you haven't opened it and put it on. Well, I assume that's because your diet starts tomorrow.
It's actually today. To stop the little one from getting into the snack cupboard because there's a couple of kilos of Haribo in there.
That's no way to talk about your missus.
I got some additional bulbs. So these are 40-watt non-dimmable. So these are for my office, these ones.
Right, we understand the bulb side of things.
Oh, no, there's like different sets of bulbs. So, it's, you know, I was on a bit of a mission.
No, really?
I realised I was short. So then we got like the travel dog guard. So that's for the...
a dog guard?
Yeah, for the car.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so the dog can't jump over the back seat. So power strips, net curtain hooks.
So actually...
LED light strips, power strip tower surge protector.
So hang on. So a curtain rod. So you've obviously got curtains that are not up at the moment.
Correct.
So you don't mind parading around naked at night so that everybody can see?
Absolutely zero shame.
He doesn't mind. Well, his neighbours do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And a power strip. Obviously, you bought that because you thought, this looks dangerous like this. Maybe I need an anti-surge power strip. But actually, you're fine leaving it be dangerous because...
Oh, no, it's not dangerous. No, I currently have a surge power strip. This is just a different one.
What
do you need
another
one
for, then?
Because this one looks better.
Oh, my God. You take the mickey out of me for having a nice-looking place.
But these are all cheap things, you know. It's not.
Next week, we should go down to Andy's place, help him unbox his stuff.
Yeah, that's right. What next? Have you got, like, nice-smelling bin liners or something?
I do.
What?
100% recycled scented bin liners, heavy duty, 30 litres. So these are for dog, like dog bags. Yeah, when I come back from taking the dog for a walk, if he's done his business. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I've got a mallet as well.
A mallet?
Black rubber mallet. Mallet.
You got a rubber mallet?
Yes.
Well, you could have invited me round any time.
Why? He's got a rubber version. It's that's easy, clean, and wipe free.
That's to help with a. I got some little mini fences to put down in the back garden. But
have you got the mini fences?
I do. That I did unbox.
Are they in
those
boxes?
No, oh. I unboxed those, then realised, you know what, I'm going to need a mallet to put these in.
Yeah. No, you don't need a mallet. We know exactly how capable you are. What you need to do is hire someone from next door to come around and, like, fix that mini fence in.
How long have you had the mallet in the box?
Yeah.
You know. Sorry, let's get...
Delivered 23rd of September.
So, well over a... Oh, my God. All right, so now there is absolutely no, we've got absolute clarity, I should say, on why Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world.
Yes, exactly. It's people like Andy.
Yeah, who buy stuff they don't need yet. Anyway.
But you know, this might be a good strategy because we know Andy can't do any DIY, but he'll call a builder around, say, give me a quote on putting up that mini fence, and he'll say something like 200 quid. And he goes, 150, and I'll let you use my mallet.
Yeah, my brand new mallet.
Do you know what? I actually purchased that stuff. It's because I did get someone to come and quote to put up a dog fence. And do you know what he wanted to put up a dog fence? And we're talking about chicken wire around the garden.
350 quid.
That's what I would have thought, and I would have probably paid that as well. £1,800.
What?
Yeah.
To put chicken wire, yeah, but how big's your garden?
Well, it's like 500 foot. No, it's not big. It's not that big. It's, you know, we've got hedges both sides, just a little bit. But yeah, it was, I was annoyed. I was like, nah, not paying that. It's taking the absolute.
So you thought what you'd do is just order the fencing and the mallet yourself and then not do the job?
Yes.
Because it's cheaper.
Well, you know, you got to percolate on these things. I'm still planning.
Mate, it's a garden job, not a coffee job. Yeah,
next week, me and Tom will come round.
We can have a fence. Have a fence building party. I tell you, I've already got the fences. I've got a mallet, and I've also got cable ties as well, just in case I need time to
get. You know, there's a presidential campaign in the US at the moment where I think your skills could come in handy. Don't worry, Governor. I could build that for you.
Oh dear.
But anyway, shall we go back again to this week's
Billy Big Balls of the Week?
So you don't need any context for this. I'll just read out the quote from the tweet that I saw, and it's hilarious. It's like, breaking news, Jeff Bezos nominates himself to the solution to a problem he's still causing. Any guesses what that might be, folks? Yes, he wants to start a school for kids whose families are underpaid by people like Jeff Bezos. And you know what? I saw this and I laughed. I thought that's such a Billy Big Balls move. You underpay your staff and then you come out with this act of philanthropy.
Yeah,
and like, I'm building a school for kids that don't read too good. And but then I thought, you know what? This is kind of like the security industry through and through.
I see where you go with the InfoSec side of things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how many times have we hired in consultants and they've come in and they've then ordered a product and we've installed it, and then next year we have to hire another consultant to fix the product that the first consultant...
So when you say we, you're obviously involved in this. So
no.
You've obviously worked for, you know, the shallow end of the gene pool of the InfoSec vendors who do this sort of thing.
No, I've worked for the largest banks in the world. So, yes, the absolute shallow end of the gene pool. Exactly.
Yeah. Hold up. We need more chlorine for the shallow end of this gene pool. Oh, dear. So basically, he is the richest man in the world. He could solve huge numbers of problems just in his country alone by giving, you know, like a tenth of his... of his fortune. And what he's doing is actually just continually underpaying and overworking people to make more money so that he can invest in schools to help people's kids because they are living in poverty.
Well, probably he's investing in schools because it's a tax write-off, so he can pay even less tax.
There's going to be some
does.
Tax breaks on this, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also there's that quote that people don't give to charity to help others. They do it to help themselves because it makes them feel better about themselves. They think it offsets some of the toxicity.
It's like a carbon offsetting scheme.
It is. It is. Yeah. And this is quite common. You see it amongst wealthy people. But actually bringing it back, and as you were talking, Tom, I think it's easy to make fun of people like this. But then I think, well, how much do I earn? And how much more is that than the average London wage? And then how I could give 10% of my salary to help people that are homeless. Or
but you certainly, for a start, you pay taxes.
I pay taxes. I know.
You know, Bezos doesn't. Yeah. Sorry, what?
Shut up.
might do now, but.
But Bezos is, doesn't pay taxes. I mean, he's got a lot in common with Trump on that
tax
front.
Efficiency schemes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for instance, Alan Sugar, not somebody, or Sir Alan, no, Lord Alan now, isn't it? Lord Alan. Not somebody I particularly respect in the business world, but he pays the full PAYE tax amount on his money. So that's, effectively 50% of what he earns goes to the tax, the HMRC. But yeah, to pay taxes at anything like that at least means you are contributing to the society in which you live in. Bezos is not contributing back. He is purely pulling money out. I would put this in the rant of the week, not the Billy Big Balls myself.
But you know what? So I've actually done a quick search on them. It says, why do people hate Jeff Bezos? And so there's like
loaded
a couple of
question.
Things that they do. Yeah, well, yeah. So I just want to get to the, was it? So I'm on something called Front Page Live, and their quote is, reality is our bias. So first thing, number one, he cut health benefits for 1,900 Whole Foods workers. So Amazon bought the grocery store chain, and then Bezos decided he didn't want to pay for part-time employees' health benefits. So he cut them off. The decision was made to better meet the needs of our business and create a more equitable and efficient scheduling model.
What?
Yeah, then they've got shipped expired.
Well, they might have taken time off to get their illnesses looked at.
Well, a shipped expired baby formula, which I think that's an old story that we knew. Tried to buy the Seattle City Council. So this was one of the Seattle City Council members thought that Amazon and other Seattle-based corporations should pay their fair share of the city's taxes.
Funny that.
Yeah, so Bezos poured $1.5 million into her opponent's campaign when she was elected. Ignored the fire in the Amazon. Yep. Threw pennies at the Australian wildfires. So this is he donated $690,000 to the Australia Firefighter Fund, but they're not happy with that because at the time it was worth $145 billion. And Metallica donated $750,000. Elton John gave $1 million. Okay.
He's definitely richer than Elton John.
He's definitely richer, yeah. this one, I'm not sure what he let employees pay taxes to him. That's a very long, I don't know how to do it.
Didn't he set up this fund to try and, he set up a fund that people could contribute to help pay his furloughed workers?
Quite possibly.
And I think he contributed something to it, but basically said, Amazon workers are in trouble. Give us your money so we can pay them. Crikey, he could have kept them going for about 50 years.
He is the Billy with the biggest balls on the planet at the moment.
Yes, I think so.
Billy Big Balls of the Week.
I find that just really depressing.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's taken a... That's killed the buzz, hasn't it?
It would be a funny tweet, and look at you two taking it dark.
But, how different is he from other billionaires? With the exception of maybe Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Warren, whatever his Buffett. Name is. Warren Buffett.
Buffett, okay.
David Gilmour.
Who's that?
Who's that? It's the lead guitarist from Pink Floyd.
Oh.
But yeah, I think there's plenty of examples out there of how people who are worth a lot of money actually can contribute back and not make a big dent on their lifestyles.
What I found is it depends sometimes on how they acquired their wealth. So a lot of celebrities, I find, they're actually quite good at donating because their money or revenue isn't built upon shareholder value and exploiting workers and that kind of model.
It's built on the fact that they appeal to people and people are putting their money in their pockets to watch them in their films, in their TV, listen to their music, you know, all that sort of thing. So there's a much more direct connection to the consumer of their product. I don't know. I think we need to lighten the mood, don't you?
Definitely.
Yes, Tom.
Yes,
Tom. Blimey, guys. This is so
sad. Joe, I muted myself to blow my nose. Just and then you ask a question and I can't.
Yeah, I'm sat next here to Jav and he's like picking his nose, looking at the ceiling.
Like, I'm like,
you know, like, yeah, mate, we are live here. Anyway, let's go to you, Andy, and this week's
Tweet of the Week.
Andy, I just saw there's not a delay in the soundboard at all. It takes Grandpa like 2 seconds to look around all the icons and find the one he's meant
to
press.
It's not straightforward.
We should just put stuff in a particular order and make the soundboard in that order so he doesn't have to look for anything.
And we just number them. 1, 2. Okay, so let's try it again.
Oh, see, it's not straightforward, is it?
He put me off. Wait. Third time's a charm.
Tweet of the Week.
Oh, now he's doing that middle finger up the side of his face thing to me.
Jeez, guys, get a room, okay?
We are in a room.
Yeah, that's right.
So I was going to take the piss out of this week's Tweet of the Week because I saw this and I thought, what a perfect opportunity to take the piss out of someone. However, no, Jill, I looked at it and thought, it's actually okay.
You know? It takes the piss out of itself more than capable.
I couldn't do any more damage to this. if you have a quick look, you'll see the link now I've posted. And it is this particular tweet.
Twitter, it's National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, so I'm going to give you 3 tips right now that you can do to secure your Twitter account more secure than it is already, unless you've already done these additions. Click one, click on the 3 dots, go to
have
settings.
You sped it up?
No, this is actually the speed that believe our friend of the show, Mr. Malik, may have consumed some Red Bull before filming this video. this is, I guess, what I was going to take the mickey out of. But if you consider the type of people that this may be targeted at, not necessarily your generation, Tom, but someone young like myself who's part of the TikTok generation. Obviously it's not needed for Twitter. We wouldn't know what Twitter was. But it is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. I don't think we've mentioned that yet. So October is traditionally NCSAM, hashtag NCSAM, with I never know why it's October. I did hear something because there's 5 weeks in October, and so therefore you get a lot of.
Is there always 5 weeks in October?
I don't know. No. Like I say, this is something.
How does that? No, it changes surely.
Well, you got that's 31 really days.
It's, that's the problem with you, young people. You just you don't know basic.
Let's go on Snopes.
Yeah, exactly.
However, it is to get at Jav, I'm trying to like give you a backhanded compliment here. Despite the Red Bull consumption, it's National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and just 3 really quick tips which were useful. Enabling multi-factor authentication, check permissions, but nicely laid out and educational.
Nicely lit, I would like to say. There's obviously some nice backlight in there. and a good short focus. If somebody used to ask me, I reckon that was a 50mm prime lens that Jav used on that.
Spot on, you camera nerd.
What can I say?
But thank you, Andy. No,
the sunglasses were from a Christmas cracker, but
no, those are my so those sunglasses and jacket, I wore them in a GDPR millionaire video and a few others. That's the kind of like the character. But those sunglasses are actually Tyler Durden's. I got them from.
Really? Are they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Yes. Yeah. Does Tyler know you've got them?
Well, he won them fair and square.
In my mind, yeah.
He won them fair and square. I did wonder why Jav didn't turn up that week. No, very good. I must admit, it was a good video. It didn't go on as long as most of your others, so I enjoyed it much, much more.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Sorry. Sorry, you know, what I, again, backhanded compliment delivered at speed, is said it was good, informational, short and sharp, and perfect for National Cybersecurity Month. So we look forward to seeing your daily videos on all of this.
Daily, man. this is the first video I put out in like 3 months or something.
Now, you know that's not true. But yeah, very, very good. And yeah, that was this week's
Tweet of the Week.
Okay. Do you know what time it is, Andy?
Is it time to, I don't know, are we sticking to the running order, or are we...
Yes, because that's why I'm very subtly delivering up the part of the show that you always deliver so well.
In order where I usually say our reliable sources over at the InfoSec PA Newswire have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news from around the globe.
Indeed. So it's time for this week's
industry news.
Ivanti adds VPN and MDM technologies in double acquisition.
Industry news.
Research, cloud skills and solutions are in short supply.
Industry news.
UK receives 2020 European CyberSec Award.
Industry news.
Hashtag DTX now. Time to remove security from IT.
Industry news.
Technical and cost... I'm trying to stop Tom from pressing the button. Technical and cost concerns of password authentication for the security leaders.
And that was this week's
industry news.
Even when he's in the room, he can't stop me.
I'm trying to maintain some distance.
Yeah, we had to take our masks off when we first saw each other. No, that didn't sound right. fascinating.
Huge if true.
Huge if true. I'm trying to pick out an interesting story and I'm struggling. this one. Time to remove security from IT.
That's also the one that I clicked on. It's about moving the CISO out of IT.
The 90s called. They want their headline back.
I remember someone giving a talk. Was it you, Andy? I think you gave it at RSA 1 year about the playing Game of Thrones.
It was.
Yes. Right. I remember that.
Yeah, but the problem where it all failed is that not everyone had seen Game of Thrones at the time. I lost the room very quickly with that one.
That's right. But Tom, you remember that. You were there. You actually tell that story well.
I was there, absolutely. Playing the Game of Thrones, getting a seat at the King's table. Absolutely. I remember Andy delivering that very, very well. And thankfully, you didn't deliver that, you know, that talk like 5 years later, because nobody would have turned up because Game of Thrones was, you know, crashing into season 8 at that point. But this was back in the early days, you know, when the Red Wedding was kicking off and literally everybody was playing it. So, yeah, it was good about the evolution of the CISO and where they sit and where they come from. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. One of my favourite talks ever.
So do you think the CISO should be in IT though, Tom?
No, not at all.
When you were a CISO, were you in IT?
No. No, I reported to the CEO of the organisation.
Wow.
I remember, actually, that we did... I did ask you one time, what's the most important thing in a job to you? Do you remember this? And I know you both had separate answers, but I remember, Tom, yours was reporting line or reporting structure.
And I was like, damn, the man's really not motivated by money.
I'm totally motivated by money. That's why it was my second point, but I didn't feel I could put it down as my first point. But no, reporting lines, absolutely. Otherwise, you're just hamstrung from day one. And I'm amazed that this is kind of like a...
still a thing. Like a,
well, almost like a front page news type thing. I know, well, obviously everything we talk about in industry news is front page news, but I'm amazed this is still a concept. I know there are still companies out there where the CISO reports to the CIO, but I think it's if nothing else, it's being questioned far more. You know, and I think the accepted wisdom is that it shouldn't, except in exceptional circumstances. So I'm really surprised that this is a, you know,
do you find some of that's being driven because now they're trying to dump a lot of GDPR like privacy and legal stuff onto the lap of the CISO? So they're like, okay, you can move out of IT if you take on all this.
Possibly, this, yeah, unrest. But again, that generates another conflict of interest, you know, because the interest of the CISO is to keep the data secure. The interest of the privacy officer, the chief privacy officer, is to keep the individuals to maintain the privacy of the individual. Now they do that through using the tools of the CISO, and I think if you put the two together, you end up with this conflict of interest, because you could be in direct contravention of GDPR but have a totally unbreachable and secure system. And I think the two of them to get this difference between compliance and security itself and compliance, you know, that they're not the same. And in the same way that, you know, privacy and security are not the same. In fact, I think, Andy, you did a really good video on this where you appeared at the French windows of your house, didn't you, while you were inside. And you said, you know, I've got security, I can't get in. But if I want privacy, I need to shut the curtains, right?
Yeah. It's a good analogy, that one.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I was in awe of your work there. I have to say. But especially, I didn't know you had those kinds of, leet editing skills either, video editing skills. But yeah, anyway, I think, anybody who knows me at all knows that this is a real bugbear of mine and something I will forever be pushing.
So CEOs out there, if you want to hire Tom, he'll be happy to be your PA because it's a very clear, clear line of engagement, not having to go through the CIO.
Absolutely. Most PAs would earn more than me right now anyway.
Yeah, they would.
Oh, my goodness. Right, shall we move on now to the next one?
Absolutely.
Rant of the week.
Well, again, you know, Jav just crashed that with you saying something, Andy. It's like letting, you know, a schoolboy out in the into the sweetie shop. He's got buttons that he can press and everything. I mean, he almost did that like little tiny clap in front of his chest as he pressed the buttons. Anyway, this week's rant of the week is me, and this is interesting. This has definitely generated debate, and I think my rant comes from a slightly different direction here. But there was there was an announcement from the Twitter handle Hack the Planet at Hacked Planet. A return to hackers is being actively considered, says director Ian Softley. So there'll be a new Hackers movie. This is the movie with Johnny Lee Miller and...
Angelina Jolie,
thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. That was... I don't want to say highly regarded, yeah, per se.
Mr. Smith was Brad Pitt, just for the record.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, so it was, yeah. That's but they were both married to Angelina Jolie, weren't they?
So Johnny Lee definitely dated her. So I'll tell you a story. He may have been. I'll tell you a story about him after this.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Sorry, listeners, subscribe to our Patreon and you can hear that story too.
Oh God, we've got to create a Patreon link now. It certainly sort of captured the zeitgeist, if I may, of the whole sort of hacking movement far more than many other you know, Hollywood films about hacking have done. Probably the only thing that's come close to it ever since is the Mr. Robot, the TV show. Anyway, so a sequel is being considered. And we, there's a lot of debate. So somebody tweeted, no, please. The only good thing about that movie was catching an iconic moment in hacker culture. Today, it would just be a soulless film about ransomware full of techno babble. That's probably true. But you know what? Why is this generating quite so much angst, it would seem? It's a film. If you don't like it, don't go and see it. How Twitter or social media generally just seems to latch on to something overinflate it beyond what it actually needs to be. You know, if you only want to know about the first film, just watch the first film and leave it at that. Not a big deal.
So did you ever see Point Break, and the remake?
There was a remake?
I haven't seen the remake. I've seen the original.
I saw the remake they did in Hot Fuzz.
No, it's a genuine remake which they've done. So the what's the other one I was thinking of? Total Recall. How do you feel about
this? That was good. I thought the second one was good, stood on its own, but had some nice little callbacks to the original film.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like the three-breasted lady and the woman who was going through customs going 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, nice little touches to it.
Cool. So, okay. So I guess it could go either way then.
I didn't like Total Recall, the remake.
I was more of a fan of the original as well.
God, the original is brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, all the rubber mask effects and everything.
So actually, like, speaking about security films, like, everyone always jumps on the hacker band. Like, everyone was trying to make something about hackers. And, like, that's why that show Scorpion was so bad. And this is where this tweet is right. I think it'll just be ransomware and technobabble. But historically, I think if you want to look at movies that capture the more of the InfoSec professional best, and I've actually working on a blog about this, is Predator is the best movie about security ever. And Arnie's character actually shows life as a CISO.
Get to the chopper!
Basically, it's all set in a sandbox environment, deception technology, the APT is there. There's some real key takeaways from there, and I'll always rate that highly. But again, the original was fantastic. The sequels just got from bad to worse.
They're good fun, though.
Yeah, but there's good fun, and then there's greatness.
Yeah, absolutely. Adrian Brody was very good in Predators, was it? I think.
Is that the last one?
No, that wasn't the last one. They've done other ones since.
That was the one where they went on another planet. They were kidnapped and
parachuted in. Yeah,
yeah. They had some aliens in that as well. That was one of the.
Did they? No, they didn't have. That wasn't an aliens one.
Oh no, they didn't have aliens in that one. No, sorry.
Because then it would have said Predator and Alien.
Yeah.
The clue's in the name. Predators brackets, not aliens brackets.
Oh dear.
But anyway, so I just find it funny how. Well, I guess. I'm going to go back on myself a little bit here. People feel very passionate and very protective around, you know, whatever subculture it is that they're in. And I guess that's what they're trying to defend here. But I, you know, sometimes I just think that, you know, social media amplifies entirely the wrong things. Sometimes. Not always. Yeah. But sometimes.
You know what? We are in the golden era of, especially TV and movies, to a degree as well, but especially TV. And there's so much good content out there.
Yes.
I think there's just so much good stuff. You can't even get through all of that if you want to. So I don't concern myself with the bad stuff out there because I'm not even going to get to it, even if I really wanted
to. No, that's true. I mean, my watch list on Netflix alone is huge. There is so much content out there. If it gets made, don't worry about it. If it's that bad, it just gets consigned to the bin.
I just finished a series on Netflix called Humans.
It's a Channel 4 series.
It was a Channel 4 series.
I stole that Channel 4 one.
It's got three seasons, that's it. Such a good show. Yeah. I really, really liked it. It actually, you'd find it interesting, Tom, because it's really, it's it's got androids in it and they're like personal helpers, but it's really about your relationship with technology.
Yeah.
And how it, you know, some people try to fill a void with technology. They buy things that they don't need. They have like seven types of like smart speakers in their house.
And leave them in their boxes in the hallway.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry, Tom. When he says it's about Android, he doesn't mean the operating system.
Yeah. You know, I bought an Android tablet the other day because I needed to do something on the smart home. So, yeah, I said hacking, not quite. I need to do something. I've been meaning to sort of get up to it. So I bought virtually the cheapest tablet I could, and it's absolutely awful. Horrible, horrible operating system.
You know, you kind of get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, no, I don't like it at all. So I will use it for what I need to use it for, and then I shall sell it. Or just use it as a doorstop or a frisbee, something like that. Or just give it to Jav because he loves Android. Anyway, that was this week's
Rant of the Week.
You're welcome.
So the I'll tell you quickly, it's not even worth making a big deal out of that my Johnny Lee Miller story. This is going back in the day. So I used to play football at a previous company. We used to go out at lunchtimes or mid-morning and play against other companies. It was five-a-side indoor football down the back near Baker Street, this sports centre we went to. And one time I was there. So I have this thing, you probably know, I just have some sort of facial blindness where I just don't recognise people. Unless I've seen them a lot or, like, you know, really know them. I generally just don't know people. I forget what they look like. It just takes me time to realise who they are. So there I was getting changed before the game. There's this guy opposite me. He did look familiar, obviously. And I said, hey, how's it going? He's like, yeah, cool. I said, oh, are you playing today? And he sort of like looked around. He goes, the football? And I was like, yeah. He goes, no, not today. He said, I've just been to the gym. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And like, we're chatting. I said, you up to much later? And, just being polite. And he was like, no, I just got some work on. And I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, well, anyway, I'll catch up with you later. Yeah, picked up my boots, went off. And he was like, yeah, see you later. And I came out. I turned to my colleague. I was like, oh, I forget who he is. I was like, what's that guy's name? And he looks at me, he goes, I thought he was your friend. He goes, that's Johnny Lee Miller. He's an actor. I was like, damn, I thought he worked upstairs or something, you know. I just terrible with faces. I now recognise my neighbour. But the sort of first 6 months were pretty embarrassing. 6 months?
You've been there for like 4 years, haven't you?
I have now, yeah. But in those first 6 months, one time he came around, my missus was like, it's so obvious he didn't know who he was.
But you just smiled and nodded.
I do, yeah. Extend a hand. Yeah, shake. Well, you don't have to shake hands these days, so it's even easier.
No, that's a good thing. But after you got married, how long did it take waking up every morning to recognise your missus? Yeah. Or were you just awkwardly hanging around? You're going to go home now, love. Like,
wasn't there an Adam Sandler film about that with Drew Barrymore?
Yeah, 50 First Dates.
50 First Dates. That is Andy's life.
Not quite that romantic, unfortunately. But, yeah, no, I do. Like I said, I don't know what it is. It's absolutely terrible. One time we got burgled, not at home, in the office. And I actually saw the guy. This guy came into the office after hours and, I challenged him. He left our office, but he'd actually burgled a load of the other offices. But it turned out he was actually the burglar. And the police asked me to describe what he looked like. I had no idea.
Two arms, two legs.
Yeah. Yeah. You were like, have you read this book called The Invisible Gorilla?
Yeah.
That's me.
That really is. Oh, yeah. You know, I love that book. That's probably the only full book I've got on my iBooks account, you know.
It's a whole book about that one experiment.
Yeah. It's more than just that experiment. Yeah, there's lots of things.
Really good.
Oh, about perception and...
Yeah. They have different stories about in real life. I like there's cops chasing after someone. They think that the criminal's further on.
Yeah.
And they completely ignore that one of his colleagues has tackled him and on the floor struggling with him. And he runs straight past them to go off to something else.
But for those that don't know about The Invisible Gorilla, it was an experiment.
We'll put a link of the video down below. That'll be easier than you trying to explain, and we're short on time.
We're short on time. So, someone can dig up the link for me. I'll copy it in. Excellent. Nice little story to round it off. So yes, we don't have a little people because we've got some some young women who are at the end of their careers, apparently, that are going to be delivering something to us. Is that correct, Jav?
I hope so, yeah. I hope so. I really like that LinkedIn thing.
Oh, the LinkedIn thing. Okay, yeah. Well, so we got some extra stories here. So let's do this one last story, LinkedIn. So go on, Jav.
So I saw this post. Someone forwarded it to me. Someone posted this on LinkedIn, and it just hit home. It was so true. So LinkedIn influencers. Yesterday, I was walking to an interview. There was a starving dog on the road. I stopped to feed him, and I missed the interview. The next day, I got a call asking me to come in to do the interview. I was surprised, but I went. Then the interview came in. The interviewer came in. He was the dog.
Is that from the State of LinkedIn account? It has to be, surely.
I don't know, it's just so true. That is what LinkedIn is like.
Oh, everyone. My goodness. Real sort of virtue signaling. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Do you know what I'd like? There's, I can't remember where I saw it, whether it's an Instagram or a Tumblr or something like that, but it was people that took motivational quotes and put them, from fitness accounts or business strategy accounts and put them on drinking pictures. So it's like there's a guy passed out on the floor sitting in vomit with like all these empty beer bottles next to him, a bottle of vodka on the table. And it says like, just when you're about to give up, keep going, and there's some fantastic ones like that. And it just, just taking all this inspirational stuff and applying it to a different topic. Just to, like, as you say, that sort of virtue signaling, just to sort of show how, ridiculous it can be.
Nice. Right, I do believe we're drawing to the close, so I'm going to say thank you very much, Jav, for starting this podcast without me.
You're welcome. I look forward to lunch.
You might not want to now. So thank you, Jav, and Andy, thank you, sir.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure. Host Unknown, the podcast, was written, performed, and produced by Andrew Agnes, Javad Malik, and Tom Langford. Copyright 2015, or something like that. Insert legal agreement here as applicable and binding in your country of residence. We thank you.
So what are you making for lunch?
Did somebody say just eat?
Oh, no.
Your mate's a CISO there, isn't he? Kevin Fielder, is he?
I know Kevin. Oh,
is he not your mate? I thought you knew
him. Well, everyone's my mate.
Oh.
Jeff, well, it sounds like you're getting a bowl of Huel.
Oh, is that the time? I must be heading home. Let me head to the service station. That is wrong.
And have a Ginsters.